is going on in the world, for some, there is a virus in your home and in your family that is deteriorating what God's plan is for your life and for your home and for your future. And we need to be wise about it and how God wants us to appropriate His word, His plan, His purposes in our homes and in our lives. And I want to just say to somebody, it's never too late. Come on, say amen to that. I said it's never too late. I've talked to a lot of families just over in the last week, in the last month. It's what I do on a regular basis that are facing. They're in different stages of life. They're going through and facing challenges, some that they expected, others that they never thought would happen to them. And no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through in life, God is our answer. And I don't think that necessarily God brings us to a place where we lose ground. He just brings us to a place where we can lean on Him more to gain greater ground. And so I believe that in your life and in mine, that when we put our hearts and our lives and our future in the hand of God, we begin to, instead of losing, we begin to gain. We begin to gain in our family. We begin to gain in our relationships, in our dreams. We begin to gain in answered prayer for our lives. And even if something has died in your life, God, He's a God that breathes life into things that are dead and causes them to live again. I love that. And life will come. And as I was praying over this last night into my office, I felt the word come into my heart that I just heard somebody saying, I don't have any feelings anymore. I've lost that love and feeling. I have nothing left in my life. And that's okay. God can resurrect that. We don't live just necessarily by feelings. I'm not downgrading your feelings today. We live by faith. Feelings are important. They lead us. They help us to understand our environment. And God wants to help you to feel again. He wants to bring that life back to you. He wants to bring that hope back to you. And I want to speak to that person today and tell you, your life is not over. It's not done. Your dreams are not dead. God may be shifting and changing and rearranging what you had hoped or thought about, but He's got something great in your life. And you cannot be defined by what happened yesterday. You must know that God, He's put that under the blood, and today is a day where you can move forward and you can live for Him. I loved what my son said this morning in the middle of worship, that some people, they don't follow God and the calling and the purpose of their lives because they are too busy thinking about what they did or didn't do and worrying about what somebody said or didn't say or thinking that God has got some negative opinion about you. Can I tell you, all of you today, that God's just madly crazy in love with you? Did you hear me? I said, God is madly crazy in love with you. And when Tyler got up here to sing this morning, I'm telling you, God, He stood up in heaven and began to applaud, said, that's what I was looking for. And God wants all of you to rise up and begin to do and discover who He's made you to be and what the plans that He has for you, plans to bring you a blessing in your life, to bring you hope, and to bring you a future, not plans of calamity, not plans of heartache. Even if you've been through it, God's going to lift you up. I'm prophesying over somebody's life right now. He's going to lift you out of that heartache. He's going to lift you up out of that darkness. He's going to lift you up out of that loss. And He's going to set your feet on a solid rock. And you're going to laugh again. You're going to rejoice again. I hear God saying, somebody's going to dance again in His house. Going to dance again. Proverbs 24:3, I read it last week. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. This week I've felt the weight of this so much on this subject. Families, because families are the core in life, period. Whether you're married, single, divorced, maybe you're looking, maybe you're here today and you say, I don't have a family. Look around you. You're in the family of God. You are a part. These are your brothers and your sisters that are with you today. If you're alone, you don't have to be anymore. You are part of a family, and it begins right now, begins today. And this is an important moment in your life. And even if you're facing the challenges, God has an answer for you. And today I just want to express and I want to communicate some practical things that you and I can live by. And I love this verse of scripture in Proverbs 24:3. In the New Century Version, it says it takes wisdom to have a good family. Look at that. You need to write that down. You need to look at it in that version because that's amazing. It takes wisdom to have a good family. And it takes understanding to make them strong. Wisdom and understanding. That's what it takes to have a great family and to make it strong. You may be sitting here and say, yeah, but I've messed this up and I messed that up. The Bible says in the book of James, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. King James, he said, he abradeth not. He doesn't hold wisdom back. You can ask God for wisdom and say, I need more, and he gives more. The reason some of us don't have wisdom in certain areas of our lives is, number one, we haven't asked him, and number two, we don't listen to it when he gives it to us. Amen, Pastor. That was really good. Thank you. It takes wisdom to have a great family. And it takes understanding to make it strong. What do we do? You got to live a life of great faith. You got to have legitimate faith working in your lives. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. Because there's a grace and a faith that God wants you and I to walk in and live that is real, that's personal, that's available at all moments in our lives. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is not just something we talk about. Faith is something we live about. Faith is stepping out of what you think that you can do and stepping in to what God can do. Faith is declaring things over your children and in your family when they are so far out of the way that you can't see them, but you declare them anyways because faith speaks towards your future and towards your dreams. Faith speaks to that child who is wavering, who is running, who is misguided and all jacked up. Faith says he's going to be a man of God. She's going to be a woman of God. Faith is stepping out and believing God to do something that you cannot do in your own power and in your own strength. Faith is believing him to do something that you can't conjure up in yourself. And that's where we get hung up, because many of us are so gifted and so talented that we think we can do it all ourselves. But God says that the walk of faith is walking out of your own personal dimension and stepping into a supernatural dimension. You got to have a legitimate faith in God to have that family. Proverbs 14:26. It begins with reverence for the Lord, the Bible says, gives a man deep strength, and his children have a place of refuge and security. Your kids will see things in you when you step out in faith and trust God. You say, how about if I make a mistake? Good. It's better for you to trust God and do something for the Lord and it not work out than you to sit like a bump on a log saying, I'm afraid. I don't want to do anything. I sold my house. I gave furniture away. We loaded up a U-Haul traveling trailer. I had an old van and hooked it onto a trailer, pulled it behind it, shoved it full of stuff, and I drove my family 2,900 miles across the United States thinking that I heard from God. I believe I did. Got there, I thought, we are at the land of promise. Only to find out it was the land of hell. And my kids were crying and they had to get paper routes to make money to help us pay for groceries. You say, where was God in all that? Can I tell you something? He trained my boys during that time to be entrepreneurs. In the middle of the calamity, in the middle of the heartache, in the middle of the loss, because they had a mom and dad that stepped out in faith and did something uncommon to have something supernatural take place in our lives. You got to do that, my brothers and my sisters. Moms and dads today, quit stopping and saying, well, I just, you know, I'm afraid to do this and I'm afraid to do that. Step out of that natural realm into that supernatural place. Begin to call those things that are not as though they were. And watch God do a miracle in your home. Joshua 24:15, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Are you going to just be a Sunday Christian? Or are you going to be a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week man, a woman, boy, or girl on fire for Jesus and see him do things that you could never do in your own ability and your own strength? I want that life. I want that in my life. You got to make it legit in your life. You can't just act like it. Bumper stickers and crosses around the neck are great, but I want to work it inside of me. I want to walk in that dimension of supernatural faith, calling those things that are not as though they were. If I could talk about this longer, but I gotta keep on going. You gotta, in your home, in your family, we are family, you gotta have, and I've talked about this before, you got to have scheduling in your life that is intentional, not just accidental. You have to carve out. If you're not living off of a schedule, you are letting life move past you. I don't care if you're retired or not. Some of you people that are retired, you need to quit just thinking that the chair is your life from here on out. Get up, shake the dust off your feet. Help me, Lord, right now. And let God use you in a beautiful and a powerful way for his glory and his honor, that your latter days can be greater than your former days. Amen. Praise the Lord. Get up and start living for God. Do something powerful for him. Because if you don't, you're just going in all kinds of directions and think, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Activity is not accomplishment. Psalm 39:6 says, we're merely moving shadows and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. Nothing. I want to do something greater. As the older I get, I want to do more. My hero, one of my mentors that I've looked up to for 25 years, Pastor Tommy Barnett, turning 83 years old today. You look at him, you think he's like 60. Strong. Last year, he went around the world preaching not once, twice. At 83 years old, in the largest churches in the world, preaching the gospel, seeing people come in to the kingdom of God. You know, I see a little of this happening in my own life now. And can I tell you all, you have to have someone that you can look up to and have a level to emulate. So, and some people say, well, I just emulate Jesus. Yeah, well, of course. Quit talking corny like that with me. You got to have a flesh and blood person that you can grab onto, you can touch, say, help me to be what I'm called to be. Tommy Barnett, he's speaking. Last year when I went out, I spent a day with him. He's showing me this, and he's taking me here, and he's showing me that. And he gets in the car after he's showing me, he says, I have no idea how that all happened. And I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, what do you mean? I said, Pastor Tommy, if you were going to do something different, what would you do? He looked at me, and he said, I'd take bigger risks. Says the man that at 83 years old travels around the world twice. I have pastors come and they say, well, look at your place. I take them through here. I take them next door. I take them across town. They go, man, how did you do that? I'm walking through there and I'm like, I don't even know how this is all happening. But I remember the day that I was put into a corner to say, you trust me now or you don't? You're going to listen to what everybody else says? You're crazy. You're foolish. You don't know what you're talking about. You're dumb. You're radical. That's a poor decision, or are you going to trust me when I give you a word and say, step out of the natural into the supernatural? Ecclesiastes 4:6 says it's better to have a little with peace than have peace of mind than be busy all the time. Be careful how you spend. You got to have intentionality in your scheduling, because when you do that, you discover the purpose for what God has called you to come to. This is so important because when you have real faith and you then seek the Lord for the purpose that He called and created you for, you will then know how to schedule your life. You'll cut out this, you'll embrace that. You'll allow these people to come into your life, and you'll minimize the influence from some. And you will never know until you step into that place of faith. I'm talking to some dads here today. I'm talking to some dads. You need to step into another level of serving the Lord in your life. Because when you discover your purpose, then you will begin to orchestrate your life with your kids, with your home, with your own future. Does it mean even that your children will be like everyone else when discovering purpose? Your kids are not a carbon copy of what everyone else is telling you they should be. I had two kids that Ben took some college. Ryan didn't take any college. Garrett, he'd still be in college if he could. I can't figure it out. But each one of them, God's hand is on their life in an incredible and in a unique way to do something beautiful. You don't have to make your kids try to be something that God has not created them to be. Maybe some of them are athletic. Maybe some of them aren't. Maybe some of them want to go to college. Maybe some of them don't. But until you and I discover what God has called us to be, we will never have the influence on our children to help them to discover what they are called to be. I can tell you one thing, that as a mom and dad, you're to live your life for God. You're to be sold out for God in your home. And whether your kids are in your home or not, whether you've gone through a divorce and your kids are away from you, live your life for God. That is not the moment for you to start acting like a fool and letting your kids see how foolish you live. I don't know why I said that. That just came out on overflow. Paul said, Acts 20:24, I consider my life worth nothing. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me. I'm going to do it all for Him. And in the middle of it, we speak words of life to our kids. We prophesy. We speak hope. We speak life into them. We speak over our family. Ephesians 4:29. Don't let unwholesome words come out of your mouth. What a stupid idiot you are. I can't believe you're so dumb. Why'd you do it? Don't. Stop that. Speak words of life and bless them and tell them you're going to be blessed. You're going to have favor. You're going to go here. You're going to do this. God's going to use you in a great and in a powerful way. Our families grow to greater levels when the words we speak over them build them up. Even if one of your kids are in trouble right now, speak life to them. Don't criticize and chastise them so much. Mark 10:16, Jesus took children in his arms, laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Oh, I love that. The verbal statement out of our mouths to one another carries with it more weight than anybody could ever realize. Quit, moms and dads, quit saying in your home that you're broke and busted. Quit saying, I don't have any money. Quit saying, I can't afford this. Say, you know what? It's just not the moment for me right now, but I know it's coming. You got to call those things that are not as though they were. And if you're here right now and you're mad because I've said that to you, you're only hurting yourself. And you're only shortening your own life. Speak words of faith. Speak words of life in your home over your children. I'd lay my hands on my wife's belly when those kids were in her tummy. I'd pray the blessing of the Lord over them kids. And I'm going to tell you what, the answer to my prayer has been realized in my house and in my family. And if you can't be happy for me with that, you'll never be happy for yourself. Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful. Got to have the right relationships. Got to have the right people in your life because you could have the wrong ones in your life as well. You're the sum total of the group of people that you hang around with the most. Proverbs 27:19, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he really is like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. You are who you hang around. Proverbs 13:20, he walks with wise, grows wise, but a companion of fools, he gets harmed every time. 2 Corinthians 6:14, don't get yoked, don't get hooked up together with unbelievers. Moms, dads, if your kids are eyeing up unbelievers, push them away from it. Get them into the house of God more. Get them out. Let them go to the youth events more. Don't let them get eyes, and don't let the unbelievers have eyes for them. Lie on the phone if you gotta. Is Benny home? Sorry, he's not home. Could you have him call me? Sure. Hang up. No. And then you got to learn to have great grace in your homes. I love that song. Where grace is found, that's where God is. Grace of God. Grace that makes no sense. Grace that we can't and have not deserved, but that we give. Because Jesus, you and I have that grace in our lives. And we need to have it working in our homes and in our families too. You'll need it with your spouse. You'll need it with your kids. You will need it for yourself. And if you don't give it, you will never get it. Did you just hear me say that? If you don't give grace, you will never receive grace. Ephesians 4:32, be kind, be compassionate, forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. And you will never have to forgive any more than Jesus has forgiven you. So what do I do? You got to stop pointing fingers and blaming everyone else. In our own homes, in our own lives, in the place that we are in life, got to acknowledge, you know what? I blew it on this one. Oh my goodness. Have I ever made mistakes in my life? I own it. Own it. There's nothing that can be done when you walk to a person. Maybe you've messed up, you've acted inappropriately, you've said wrong things, you got a stinky attitude. God sets himself against stinky attitudes. Romans 3:23, all have sinned, fallen short of God's glory. Matthew 7, why do you complain about the speck in your brother's eye when you got a 8x8 sticking out of your eye? You got a plank in your eye. Own your sin. Own your trouble. Abandon your rights to get even with everyone. Forgive. We are people that forgive. We are not people that get even. And if you're sitting there saying, well, God's going to get them. I've heard people say, God's going to get them. And if you're one of these people that say karma is a blankety blank, will you stop that? There is no karma in the Word of God. If there was, you would be a pile of dust right now. You wouldn't even be a speck on an elephant's backside. You would be gone in a moment. Karma does not affect humanity that loves Jesus. Thank God that his blood covers your sin. It washes away your faults, your problems, your issues, your trouble. Come on. Come on, we believe in God's grace. Learn to forgive. Quit trying to get even. Well, the Bible says God will give revenge. Right, Romans 12:19, don't take revenge. Leave room for God's wrath. It is written, it is mine to avenge, I'll repay, says the Lord. But if you're spending your life waiting for God to get someone back, you're wasting your time. What he'll do is send his Holy Spirit to them. They'll give their heart to Christ, and they'll come up and give you a big hug and a kiss on the cheek someday and say to you, I'm sorry, I love you, will you forgive me? And what are you going to do? Don't you just love that right there? Come on. Amen. The ones of you that aren't clapping, you're the ones that are struggling with this right now. You might just, well, just clap like you know, like everything is going, yeah, okay, I hate you right now, Pastor, but I'll clap anyways. And you got to give grace, again, to relationships. I came in the other day, Friday. I don't know why I had this thought come over me about this individual that has just hurt me. And I don't even know where it came from. I don't even have no idea. And all of a sudden, I just begin to think these negative thoughts. And while I'm in my car and I'm driving, I begin to say some of them. Man, you think you get past some of this sometimes. But God is always, I don't even know why it came to me. And I just begin to think some bad stuff. I know that you don't do that, but I had that issue. And the Lord arrested me in that moment. He said, what are you doing? What are you creating in your own life? Because what you say and what you rehearse becomes who you are. If you're going to be upset and mad and have no grace, guess what? That becomes you. And then he brought me to the same verse, 1 John 4:8. That I brought the staff into my office on Friday. I said, I want to read this and pray. Whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is love. Is love just when it's convenient? Are we supposed to love just when somebody is loving us? No. He said, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. That goes right together with that Romans 12 that I just said, that vengeance is mine. How is vengeance? This is love. Not that we love God. Even when we didn't love him, he sent his Son, Jesus. He loved us, sent his Son, as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another, period. And forgive. And give grace. Close your eyes with me, bow your head. And He's going to resurrect in your home and in your family. I want those that are going to pray with me, come on down to the altar right now. I'm going to close. If God's working in your heart in any way, this is a moment you should not leave without saying to one of these folks, hey, will you come and pray with me? Will you help me this morning? Will you stand with me? I need prayer today. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you need to do that today. You need to ask him to come into your heart and into your life. If you're a Sunday Christian, God wants to transform you into a 7-day, 24-hour-a-day child of God that trusts him and lives by the faith of the Son of God, Spirit of the living God. I want everybody, if you can right now, just stand with me, if you would. Stand with me right now. I really sense that this morning is a turning point in somebody's life, in their home, and in their family. If the Spirit of the living God has tugged on your heart for anything, and I don't want you to wait until I close in prayer. I want you to head to the altar right now. Do you know if one person obeys God right now, you will help 5 other people in that transition in their life? You've been lacking in some of these areas. You know God is, he's laying something on your heart. I want you to respond right now. I'm going to close in prayer. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, make your way right now down to the altar. Let him speak into your life, into your heart. Father, I thank you today. Don't wait. Come now. I thank you today. Pass me not by, O gentle Savior. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Lord, I pray right now for my friends, my brothers, my sisters, those who are being tugged on right now. Let them obey your voice in your heart and in your life now, I ask. Lord, for those who have never made a commitment to you, may this be the day that you surrender to him. I pray, Lord, for every life that is here today. I pray for healing. I pray for hope. I pray for life. I pray for grace. Keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed. There's still some more. You need to make it out of your seat right now and come. This is your moment. This is your time. Why wait? Why go on any further? Why allow the heartache and the trouble and the challenges to continually rule your life? I need some more people to come down and help me pray. Why continue to go that way? Let God have his way in your heart and in your life today. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Savior. Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Father, thank you for this moment. Continually work in every life and every heart. Restore, heal families that have been torn apart. Minister life. Lord, for those who are here today that are sick in their body, that need a touch from heaven above, I pray even now, if that's you today as well, make your way to the altar. Let one of these folks lay hands on you and agree with you for healing in your body today. Do not pass me by. Father, bless and let the favor be upon everyone. Protect each one. Lord, whatever it is, the flu, the coronavirus, whatever calamity, I pray a hedge of protection around each one that is here today. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. I love you. God bless you. Love one another on the way out. Amen. Give God a praise today. Give him one more praise on your way out. I love you.